TV.
Okay, folks, not that I haven't been bringing you meat this week, because I have. We've been going into some very deep topics, but today's a whole different story. I'm a little somber, and I probably will remain somber. The topic, the subject matter, really demands it. It's about how Christ became sin for our sakes. Some of you have heard this teaching before, but it bears repeating because it's one of the greatest truths, and it's one of the greatest, really, puzzles in the scripture of how Christ becoming sin could take away sin. Like, how could that possibly happen? Does anyone know? Actually, yes. I mean, I know. I'm sure other people know, but you have to go into the Old Covenant and you have to look at the law of leprosy to get a clue as to how this could possibly happen. And you have to understand that there's a very poor translation in the concordant literal New Testament, which is Romans 3. And I remember talking to Dean Huff about this probably 30 years ago now, 25, 30 years ago now, about this translation in Romans 3, 25, starting with verse 24, being justified, I'm in Romans 3, starting with verse 24, being justified gratuitously in his grace through the deliverance which is in Christ Jesus, whom God purposed for a propitiatory shelter through faith in his blood, for a display of his righteousness because of the passing over of the penalties of sins which occurred before in the forbearance of God toward the display of his righteousness in the current era, on and on. It's a very difficult passage of scripture. Very difficult passage to work through. There's a lot of meat here. But what stood out to me 30 years ago, and what still stands out to me, and what really needs to be corrected in the Concordant Version, is this penalties of sin. Jesus Christ did not take the penalty of sin because he wasn't punished. The penalty of sin is not death. The penalty of sin is suffering. Concordant says, Concordant doesn't say this. King James says the wages of sin is death. But that's a mistranslation. It's a whole other truth, another deep truth. It's the ration of sin and death. The wages of sin, that is what sin pays out, is suffering. The wages of sin is not death. It can't be death. Because people sin differently. Some people sin worse than others. And yet death is the great equalizer. How can sin be the payment for death? How can death be the payment for sin? It can't be. Because Hitler's just as dead as a one-week-old baby. They're just as dead. Death is the absence of life. There's no demarcation. There's no differentiation of punishment. And punishment's not even in play here. Let's say judgment. All judgment occurs at the great white throne while people are alive. So I'm just brushing on this truth that the wages of sin is not death. The ration of sin is death. Ration is something that's continually doled out. So sin, that is, those who are slaves of sin, like Christians, those who think of nothing but sin, those who constantly fight their sin, they're constantly being doled out death. And this is not literal death. They're constantly having death hanging over their heads, have this specter, this cloud of constantly disappointing God. So what is death? Death is a result of being in Adam. Death is a result of who you are in Adam, who we have become. Suffering is a result of what we do. Nobody dies as a punishment. How could death be a punishment? It's not. Because it comes to everyone, except that generation that won't see death. Paul says, we shall not all die, thank God, and we're the generation. Amen. Generally speaking, without just rare exception, you suffer for your sin. So you might say that, you may say you reap what you sow. You sow to the flesh, you reap to the flesh, and people reap to different degrees because of the degrees of their sin. So Adam did two things. He sinned and he offended God. Because he sinned, God cursed the soil and Adam suffered. Because he offended God, he became an enemy of God and he became mortal. And the result of mortality was death. The result of sinning was suffering. Eve, pain and childbearing, ground is cursed. Now you have to work the soil. You're going to have a life of trial and trauma because of sin. But the wages, I'll say this again because it's so unusual, you never hear this. The wages of sin is not death. Sin does not pay death. Sin pays suffering. Being Adamic pays death. Inheriting mortality from Adam pays death. Death is a great equalizer. Death can't be adjusted to various sins. Having said that, penalties of sins is a bad translation. If you look up penalties in the Concordant Dictionary, as I did 30 years ago and I did just now, it hasn't changed. It's hamartama. Hamart is sin, but the EMA suffix is very illustrative and instructive here. It means effect. So this would be the sin effect. Well, that makes perfect sense. The effect of sin. God passed over the effect of sin. The full effect of sin leads to death. It's like when you throw a rock in a pond and the concentric circles go to the shore. That's the effect. You see the effect of the rock. So the full effect of, it's not the penalty. The effect of sin is death. Okay, I want you to see the difference between the penalty. Otherwise, we would have to say Jesus suffered a penalty. God put a penalty on Jesus. God punished him, penal. Penalty, the root word is penal, has to do with punishment. God did not punish Christ. Christ was not punished. Christ took on sin itself, and he took the full effect of sin. And sin, when it has teemed forth, brings forth death. It's the result of it, not the penalty. Very fine line, but important that you understand. Sin teeming forth, I'll put the verse down here, brings forth death. So the effect of sin is death. They should not say the penalty of sin. What did God forbear? What did he pass over? The effects of sin. Nobody paid the full effect. People suffered because of sin, but they never tasted sin to the dregs. They never saw everything sin could do because sin itself, the capital S in its totality, never was spent on any one person. We all shared in its ugliness. And yet on one person sin came, capital S, all of it. And it was our Lord Jesus Christ. And he tasted the full effect of sin, which was death. Because sin teemed forth in him. It could do no more than what it did on him. Why am I telling you this? Because of the last verse of 2 Corinthians 5, which I told you I would get into today. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For the one not knowing sin. I'm going to read this first as it reads word for word in the Concordant Version. Then I'm going to remove the words that are in light face type. As you know, the words that are in light face type are not in the original Greek. This is a serious passage. This is, again, we're looking at the nuts and bolts of how we are justified. And we're looking into what Christ became for us and what he did and how practically it affected us, how it affected sin, and how that in turn affected us. Because it's always a mystery. We just say, we've been forgiven our sins. We have no idea. Christ died for our sins. That's the evangel. Christ died for our sins, but we don't know how that happened. How in the world did that happen? How did one die? It doesn't make sense to the human. How does somebody dying take away sin? That's the big question. That's the mystery. We just accept that it's true. That's good enough. You don't have to understand this to be in the body of Christ, you don't have to understand this. You don't have to understand the details of how it happened, but since you are students and you are seekers, you want to know. And I wanted to know years ago, and I looked into it, and I found out, and it was like awe-inspiring concerning what my Savior did for me. Because the penalties of sins, the sin effects, not the penalties, because the effect of the full effect of sin had never been seen. Because I'll read it again, Romans 3:25. Faith in his blood for a display of his righteousness because of the passing over of the sin effects which occurred before in the forbearance of God. Before what? All before the cross. And this includes all the sins after the cross too. It was all put on him before and after. The effect, the full effect of sin had never been laid on anyone, never been seen by anyone. Not even Adam. And this whole truth is lost with the penalties. Passing over the penalties of sin. The whole truth is lost. It should be either sin effect. Tony Nungesser, please pay attention. Dean Huff, whoever has influence at the Concordant Publishing Concern. Lord knows I don't have any anymore, even though I probably sold more versions of the Concordant version in the last 33 years than any single person. As far as influencing people to buy it. That's okay. I don't want anything for it. Thanks would be good, but I don't even need that. What I would like is for this and other places to be changed. But this is one of them. I'll just take one at a time here. Passing over of the effects of sin. That's what hamartum means in the Greek. Sin effect. The sin effect. Put sin effect. That's exactly what it means. Sin effect. Put it in the translation. Put it in the version. Passing over of the sin effects. Or I'd be happy with the effect of sin. Penalties. Where do you get penalty? It's not a penalty. Penalty is so foreign to this verse. Tells us nothing. Makes no sense. And it has no backing in the Greek. So for this, cheers. Let's go to Second Corinthians 5:21. For the one not knowing sin, he makes to be a sin offering for our sake, that we may be becoming God's righteousness in him. Righteousness is brought up here in Romans 3 for a display of his righteousness because of the passing over of the sin effects which occurred before. What occurred before? The passing over. It was never addressed. It was temporarily addressed with the sacrificial system, the temple system, sacrificing the lambs once a year, Day of Atonement, the Passover. It was addressed once a year, but not completely, not totally. Everything was temporary. We didn't see the full effect of anything. It was so temporary. And it was ceremonial. It didn't practically do anything. It didn't practically do anything. It was ceremonial. God looked at it and said, it's good enough for me for now. And I won't take sin into account for another year. It didn't take it away. It didn't take it away. This took it away. What Christ did. The 6 hours on the cross. And this happened to the one not knowing sin. But let me read this now in the concordant, hard copy of the concordant, because you won't find this on the online version. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For the one not knowing sin, he makes sin for our sakes. He makes sin. It's offering is in light face type. The word offering is not in the Greek. Concordant added it to make the sentence make sense. I don't even like it. I don't even like offering. He makes to be sin. And to be is not in there. To be A is not in dark face type either. And again, to tell you, if you're a new student, if you have the King James Version, they do the same thing. If a word has no support in the Greek, and if the word has been added to satisfy English idiom, they will make note of that. God bless their souls. They will make note of that by putting it in light face type. Only words in dark face type have a supporting word behind it in the Greek vocabulary. For the one not knowing sin, he makes sin for our sakes. And now we go, he makes sin. Keep that in mind. Lock that in. He makes sin. And what has been passed over is the effect of sin. The effect, the full effect of sin, okay, has been passed over until Christ. Now we go, strangely enough, to Leviticus chapter 13 and the law of leprosy. Because here is your answer hidden in a passage of the law of Moses. I am in Leviticus 13, starting with verse 9. In case the contagion of a leprous disease comes to be in a human, then the matter will be brought before the priest. The priest will examine. And if a white nodule is in the skin, and it has turned the hair white, and the wild living flesh is alive in the nodule, it is a chronic leprous disease in the skin of his flesh. Then the priest will pronounce him unclean. He shall not enclose him, for he is unclean. Yet, that all makes sense. Disease has come on the human. The white nodule has been found. It turns to hair white. It is called wild living flesh, and it is said to be alive in the nodule. Medical terminology from that day. It is a chronic leprous disease in the skin of his flesh. Of course, then the priest will pronounce him unclean. He shall not enclose him, for he is unclean. Yet, I'm in verse 12, Leviticus 13. Yet if the leprous disease should bud, yea, bud in the skin, so that the leprous disease covers all the skin of the contagious person, from his head unto his feet, to all appearances in the eyes of the priest, then the priest will examine, and if the leprous disease covers all his flesh, he will pronounce the contagion clean. All of it has turned white. He is clean. Ladies and gentlemen, when I first read this, I thought it was a misprint. How in the world can a leprous disease come on a man? A living leprous disease. And the man appears before the priest according to the law and is pronounced unclean. Understood. Makes sense. But now, the leprous disease gets worse. In the language of the Hebrew scriptures, I'm reading from the Concordant Version, a very literal translation, it buds, yea, buds in the skin, so that the leprous disease covers all the skin. In the first case, it was just here. It was there. It was alive, but it was just here. It was just there. It was limited. It was restricted. We had not seen the full effect of it, of the disease. The effect, the full effect was not in play. Yet, if the leprous disease should bud, yea, bud in the skin, so that the leprous disease covers all the skin of the contagious person, from his head unto his feet, from his head unto his feet, to all appearances in the eyes of the priest, then the priest will examine, and if the leprous disease, to repeat, covers all his flesh, he will pronounce the contagion clean, all of it has turned white. He is clean. How could this possibly be? Because the disease has exhausted itself on the body of the human. It has exhausted itself and can do no more. It has budded and it has covered the man from head to toe. There is no more danger of spreading because it has done all it can do. It has spread all it can spread. It has nothing more left. It is finished. It is done. The disease is complete. There is no more chance of contamination either on the man or outside of the man. And the man, in the eyes of the priest, is pronounced clean. Ladies and gentlemen, when our Lord Jesus Christ was on that horrible stake, Satan threw the full effect of sin on him, sparing nothing. And our Lord was covered head to foot. No human being has ever been called upon to bear this. No human being has ever been close to bearing this. The worst sinner in the world has never even experienced the slightest modicum of this. And yet our Lord, sin budded on him until it had covered everything. And the biggest mistake Satan made was unloading the arsenal, was taking every arrow out of the quiver, saving nothing. He was betting the farm on this destroying Christ. And in fact, it did destroy Christ, because when sin coming to fruition, coming to full effect, is fully realized, the result is death. But it is not a penalty, it is the result of sin coming to fruition and fully budding, being fully manifested, bringing fully the effect of what it is and what it does. And all of this came on one naked human being, and he was nailed to the cross, so he couldn't crawl away from it. He couldn't get away from it, because it was worse than the lashes of the Roman whips. It's worse. They had to tie him down then too. But our Lord would have, they didn't have to tie him down at the whipping post. They didn't have to tie him down. They did. I'm sure they did, but they didn't have to, because he submitted to the will of his Father. But for this, Paul says in one place, nothing has overtaken you except what is human. Nothing has overtaken you except what is human. This was inhuman. No proper human, no regular human being could have borne this. Christ bore the full effect of sin. It had budded upon him. And because it had him, because Satan bet the farm and put everything on him, Satan was convinced he had the victory. Satan was convinced, and he sure as hell better. If you come for the king, you better kill the king. And Satan thought he had done it. But he didn't. He didn't. Because by a divine miracle, by divine service, Christ voluntarily did this, took this on in service of his Father, and because of his obedience, God raised him from the dead. And at that point, Satan knew it was all over, because sin had budded, it was done, and it couldn't do any more. It can't do any more to us either. Sure, we still suffer under it, because it still breaks out here and there on our nodules, but that is as nodules, I should say, to use the leprous term, but that is simply so that we can suffer as he suffered so we can know what it is. It is doesn't necessarily, I tell you, this is just me. I don't know. It doesn't necessarily, I mean, as speaking as a man and the relative, it doesn't necessarily have to be that we experience sin. Doesn't have to be, because he already tasted everything. He already drank the dregs. Satan put everything on him and it budded. And so he was pronounced, he was clean on that cross. It was clean. It was already clean, but it was so horrible. It was so deadly. It was so weighty that he died from it. No, not even that would have killed him, because he had to give up his life. But it took him. That's how far it took him. And he had to give up his life at that point. And he had to be nailed there. He would have run away from it. He would have gotten the hell out of it. Nobody could have. No, not even he could have sustained it. He had to be nailed to the cross. And he writhed under it. He suffered under it. And he took it on. And he took everything that it could do. And everything it could do resulted in death. Death was the full effect of sin. Full effect of sin. Not a penalty, for Christ's sake. He didn't take a penalty. It wasn't a punishment. It wasn't penal at all. It was a love sacrifice. It was a love act. It was a righteous act. There's another translation that he's fixed. Just award in Romans 8. Was it Romans 8? 17 or 18. One man... condemnation through one just award. No, just award. What is a just award? It's in Romans 5. It's either 18 or 19. Tony Nungus, please get rid of that. One righteous act. One righteous act. Award. The one righteous act of Christ, he took on everything sin could do. Satan threw everything at him, emptied the quiver, and that was his biggest mistake. He bet the farm. And he lost, and we won. And no man has ever, ever been called upon to take on the full effect, the sin effect, the full sin effect that was passed over. Passed over. Why was it passed over? Because no human could bear it. And we only taste it just for the sake of tasting it. God purposely causes us to taste it just so we know how bad it is, just so we know. But we only feel the fringes of it. We only feel that, we barely feel the effects of it by our suffering. We suffer because of it, but it's only a dim approximation of the suffering of Christ. That is how, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow members of the body of Christ, that is how our Lord became sin. And that is now, that's why we now can be declared righteous by God.